New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Within football, we have silos.
We need to talk about hiring the man first, the coach second. I think he is an unbelievable person.
Every single person in this locker room right now is playing professional football.
Aaron get COVID, and that week they're like, yeah, you starting. And I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Just here to tell you, Pack is back.
What's up, guys? This is Jeff Giannis.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast. We're on Packers Podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joining this week with Todd. Todd.
Hello.
And we are back. The Green Bay Packers are a good football team, winning 17-30 on Thanksgiving at Lambeau Field against the Miami Dolphins. Gobble, gobble, grobble. They did it. Todd, how was your Thanksgiving? How was the game? All is well?
It was good, yeah. Did a little bit of... I cooked a turkey. And then basically after the turkey was done, and even before the turkey was done, sat around and watched football all day long. So that was pretty great. So we hosted it was just us and another family, and it was really nice to just like sit in the chair, drink beer, a little bit of whiskey maybe, pregame for the Packers game with plenty of Thanksgiving fixins, and then
What? Hey, what's your favorite Thanksgiving side? Because H.A. Dillon's posted like 10 times that like green bean casserole or some shit is his favorite. He's got to get those interactions. So we have to on
saying,
the podcast.
Are you hating on the green bean casserole?
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking...
That's my favorite.
Oh, God. Really? God damn it. I didn't
it's
want to
so
do
good.
This. I mean, I would take like mac and cheese or... Now I'm trying to think what else there is.
So here's the problem with mac and cheese is when you say mac and cheese, the window of quality of mac and cheese is gigantic. Like, yes, if you gave, like, if I get to pick the exact mac and cheese, I would go with it, like a homemade, even like a little bit of jalapeno mac, maybe.
Not for me, but I understand.
But yeah, I just like the green bean casserole is consistent. Like, it's consistent. You get the French onions on top. Chef's kiss.
I do like the evolution of, like, the Hawaiian roll sandwiches from the last couple of years. We were at my fiance's sister's place for Thanksgiving, and the next day, I legitimately had 12 of the sandwiches at least.
Yeah. That's huge. So, some people do ham for Thanksgiving. Did you know that?
It might have been ham in the little sandwiches, but not but
my
not
point
the main
was
course.
Gonna be if you're making the sandwich, the ham on the Hawaiian roll sandwich is way better than turkey.
That's
in my opinion.
Point. Yeah, I guess sweet with the sweet, I suppose. Yeah, I usually because I made a bunch of little sandwiches too and put mashed potatoes in there, throw in the microwave for 20 seconds, and I'm like, I need like 10 more seconds then to do that, and I'm like, okay, now this is good.
20 seconds is actually a weird time because every microwave has a plus 30.
Yeah.
You don't just hit the plus 30?
Well, I was getting frustrated with this microwave because I'd hit the plus 30, but then I'd have to hit start. In my microwave, you hit plus 30 and it starts automatically. So then I'm like, if I'm going to have to press multiple buttons anyways, I'm going to...
I'm going to do exactly what I want.
I'm going to do exactly what I want. Okay. Green Bay Packers football. We're going to talk about the game that was on Thursday. Hey, remember that? There was a game almost a week ago now. Fuck, we're 2 days away from the next game, at least when you're listening to this, right? One day away.
One day. It'll be
Wednesday.
Well, this will come out.
Oh, boy. We will have take news. We'll talk playoff picture a little bit. Sterling Sharp and Mike Holmgren perhaps going to the Hall of Fame. And then, hey, we got to talk about your boy. Cooper DeJean is making Jordan Morgan a bad football player, apparently. Stump Spenny, Packers trivia, and then we will preview the Lions game. But first, we got to talk about the game. Very, very cool game. Again, Packers winning 17-30. Was this, I'm going to open it. Do you think this could be a iconic Packer game? When you think back to previous seasons, how many games can you specifically remember? Because I think the visuals from this game are going to stick in our brains for a while.
Why do you think this is an iconic game?
Under the lights, Thanksgiving, a lot of fun, little memorable plays. You know, I mean, the fucking Josh Jacobs juke was...
That is a forever play.
Watching live, it was like, oh, that was cool, but it couldn't have been that cool. And then you watch the replay and you're like, oh, fuck, it was that cool.
It looked... Because, like, the juke, I was like, kind of like didn't get a really good look at the juke right away. Like, live, because, like, the angle, he's right behind him. And then I saw it from, like, the all 22 angle, and I was like, oh, my gosh. He stole his life.
Yeah. It got to the point where I'm like, is he going to score on this play? For half a second there, it looked like he might have wriggled out of that last little
tackle. He was doing,
tackle.
Like, the Eddie Lacy fumbling around towards the end zone, just like nobody can really get a good hit on him type of thing. And I thought the same thing. I thought he was going in. But regardless, amazing play.
Yeah, that, you know, the Isaiah McDuffie hit too, and just Jordan Love getting his turkey leg, the whole thing at the end, Leroy Butler kind of awkwardly popping in and out with helping out cooking the turkey, which that was odd too. So if the Packers didn't win, was like Leroy going to give Tua or whoever a turkey? You know, because they're building up the whole time.
Yeah, that's a really good point. But the conspiracy theorists will say that this was planned all along. And this is part of the schedule. So,
to be honest, I'm surprised I didn't see more of that. That's a very good point that you bring up. But getting into the game, getting into the offense, we got to start with Jordan Love. 21 for 28. He's back, baby. 274 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Fuck, is that 2 games in a row? No picks? Look at that.
And if you'll remember back to the bye week bonanza, I said he won't throw more than 2.5 picks. He's only thrown 1. Since I said that. Okay. And now he's gone on a 2-game no-pick streak.
Ugh, well, now I feel like you're gonna, you know.
I'm just saying,
the Lions are up there.
Maybe Kirby gets sick and doesn't play.
Yeah, maybe our boy Tucker will take him out of the game.
I saw that.
I like how Tucker phrased it too. Like he's trying to protect himself as if it won't be bulletin board material anyways. He's like, I just want to get my hands on him and play football.
Yeah.
okay, dude. But yeah, Jordan Love, I mean, he's looking good again, especially his last 2 games after the bye week. He just looks like late season Jordan Love from last year. He has those throws now where it's like the scary outs. I think I just keep thinking of him as a young quarterback because the touchdown to Reed and then the other one, I think it was to like Wicks that was on the outside going from right to left. You just like hold your breath, but it just gets past there. It's kind of like not a fuck you throw, but it's funny because the DB usually like dives for it, misses, and then it's just a nice little catch for the receiver. Hold my breath on that. And then like we said, he obviously got his turkey leg, which was nice. But I feel, again, we're heating up at the right time passing the ball.
I think it's too just like cleaner football, and that's like really what's been holding this whole team back. The offense especially, it's just like playing clean football. You don't throw any picks, you don't turn the ball over. Look what we can do. I mean, we didn't even do anything in the second half, right? Yeah. Like it was only the first half. We scored 6 points in the second half. So honestly, like not even that impressive of a second half. It's just that playing clean in the first half was enough to propel us.
Moving on to the wideouts, again, Jaden Reed was back too with a halfway decent game. I mean, he had the 2 touchdowns, 3 catches, 24 yards, the 2 touchdowns, like I said. And then in the run game too, the 1 for 23. Again, you know, I hate the jet sweep, but I also love the jet sweep when it works. Mm-hmm. You know, when I see it work, then I'm like, yes, that is the time I wanted to run the jet sweep. When it doesn't work, then I'm like, no, I did not want you to do it at that time. So that was cool. The little gobble touchdown, that was cool. The little turkey arms.
Oh, yes. I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah, I got you.
It's one thing for him to do it, but then to see Elton come in and for no reason do it as well, that's what really makes the celebration. And I was surprised we didn't go for it after Jaden Reed's other catch that wasn't the touchdown. The like one hand to it was on a third and 10, I believe, brought it in to make it like 4th and 2 and we kicked the field goal. That seemed like an automatic 4th down Matt LaFleur call, which we didn't. We just took the field goal, which, I mean, I guess it worked out. But that was a little surprising to me.
It's also like, I feel like we've, I'd have to go back and look, but I feel like we've gone for it on fourth down like once per game, every game this year. We didn't go for it on fourth down at all, which maybe obviously when you're up by 17 points or whatever for the majority of the game, no reason, but.
I'd like to see huge thing to look at. The difference of going for it on fourth down like Matt LaFleur versus Mike McCarthy, who McCarthy slash the NFL was a lot more conservative back then. But just like the Seahawks NFC Championship game alone, like there was a couple times where we probably could have gone for it. I'm trying to remember if the John Kuhn fumble was on fourth down.
It might have been because that's like pretty much all we ever did was go for it on fourth down. We would run John Kuhn up the middle, or it would be like a toss play, which is horrible and it would never work.
Christian Watson, 2 catches, 67 yards. He had the one long one for 56.2. Very cool. He leaves his feet more often than he needs to, it seems like. I mean, I'm sure we've said similar things, but he's like, what, 6'5", 6'6", whatever the fuck he is. But he doesn't exactly play to that height on a lot of these deep balls, if it either high-pointing it or catching it and not continuing to keep his feet after he catches it. But can't really complain about 67 yards, and plus in the blocking game, he was still an absolute animal.
Yeah, that was one thing I was going to bring up too, is like the blocking of the receivers. Like you saw it on the second Jaden Reed touchdown. Like it was just, it was amazing. That play out to the left in the flat where Christian Watson waits until he, you know, Reed catches the ball so he doesn't get flagged for pass interference. And then he makes the perfect block. Jaden turns the corner and then you see Wicks pancake a guy down the field. And it's like, what more can you ask for? Like it was, I mean, it's like having four Alan Lazards on the team is what it feels like.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But they can also run.
Okay, and did you see, you know, Alan Lazard was a good blocker. MVS was okay for his size. And he had another fucking big, he had another touchdown or two on Sunday, MVS.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, I don't get it. Dontayvion Wicks, we talked about him. I mean, God, the fucking drops again. I don't know if it was one or two in this one. He did finish. It was just the one.
I think it's just one.
4 for 30, but as I told you, and I'm sure everyone cares about this, but I love my player props. I do not bet on the Packer game. I make like maybe $3 or $4, $10, $5 player props going into the game, and then I don't look at them until the end of the game. Sure. And the Brenton Cox, if you remember, he had that sack. I had him as a player prop, and I looked at the very end. I was like, one of the last plays of the game. If Dontayvion Wicks had caught that ball and gotten 8 more yards, he would have hit his over. I would have turned $10 into $450, I think.
Oh, no.
So it was one of those where I'm like, well, I can't get that mad because the Brenton Cox sack was bullshit at the end of the game anyways. But I was like, fuck, you gotta be kidding me. So maybe you guys feel bad about the drop, but I feel even worse.
It really hits home for you.
Oh, I forgot about Christian Watson too. The other thing, he caught that ball with a defensive pass interference. I guess I talk shit about him falling on that one, but the other one, it's like, it's nice to see him play well when there is physicality involved, because that seems to be a detriment at times for him. So I guess we can look at that, and you know,
he just needs to be always covered a little bit to make the catch.
I was going to say it's like James Jonesy, where if it's a tougher catch, he'll catch it, but the easy ones he'll drop. But he drops all varieties of balls, I suppose, at this point. Oh, something else huge here. I'm sure everyone was wondering. There's that celebration we've seen from the Packers, especially the last two or 3 weeks with the, like, money. Yeah, the money. Everyone can see the video, the money thing and pointing the first down. Kyle Malzahn, who asks the worst questions in pressers. I don't think he's still in the pressers, which I wonder if, like, they told him not to go anymore or what. I feel kind of bad for him for that, but also he was terrible every single one, whatever. So he asked this in the locker room after the game, the new Packers first down celebration, quote, paper chasing, moving forward with money, Jaden Reed said after the game, mentioned him and Dontayvion Wicks were the innovators of it recently. And then we've seen Josh Jacobs do it too. So there you go.
Everybody's
chasing
done
money. Yeah. Very cool. Very timely. I guess all those receivers will want to get their next big fat.
I'm a little too old for it. I feel like the chasing money, like, it just is less, it's less cool to me.
Yeah, it's, do you know how, like, you know, we look at the Packers team and it's like, oh, you know, who are the leaders? Do you know how old Josh Jacobs is?
Is like 27?
26. He's 26 years old. And it's like, wait, this is the veteran leader of the offense who everyone's looking to. And it's like, oh, I'm fucking, can I do math? 6 years older than him. Like, that's fucking sad, man. Last pass catcher to talk about, Tucker Kraft. I mean, Tucker Kraft led the team in reception. 6 of them for 78, the long of 17. I love him, our sweet baby boy. He almost scored on that one. And again, I mean, you just run game. You watch him lead block. Did you see the, was it the one Jaden Reed or Dontavian Wicks little short pass where he just bulldozed a dude over to with like one arm?
I don't remember that. But oh. It's par for the course. The one, too, where he catches it in the flat and he sees the linebacker out there who was maybe guarding him or whatever. And he just like, it's like, fuck it. He's like, not even going to pretend to change directions. He's like, we're going. It was like, it reminded me of, I don't know if you guys saw this a few weeks ago, but where it was like, mid run, Josh Jacobs was like out on the outside.
Oh, yes.
And he literally waved for the safety to come and hit him. And I was like, that's like the same vibes. We never had that 5 years ago. That was zero. We had Jimmy Graham, like, not blocking, not catching
please
touchdowns.
Please no, sliding or... I'm trying to think, does... No, I'm getting ahead of myself if Romeo does that or Wicks. I don't think that's true. Moving on to the run game. I mean, pretty solid game overall. Josh Jacobs, 19 carries, 43 yards, which is weird to see with an average of 2.3 yards a carry, which is not very good. Chris Brooks finished 3 for 28. Jaden Reed, like we mentioned, the 1 for 23, and then Emmanuel Wilson, the 2 for 20. But all the running backs had at least one like big play. Chris Brooks with the 18-yard run, Emmanuel Wilson with a 15-yarder, and then Josh Jacobs with the whatever the fuck it was, the 49-yard catch and run. I was surprised that Brooks and Wilson only combined for the 5 carries. They did, I'm sure everyone was worried, but they did all hit their props for the over. But Jacobs did say in practice today, because they were asking about, you know, with the short week, the back-to-back Thursday night games and all this, he was asked how, you know, if he can carry this load, blah, blah, blah. And I thought it was interesting. He said he thinks it's important for the team to see him take all those reps. He says that it feels like he's setting the tone for the team, which I thought was interesting. And then he followed up and also said, I can take as many carries as they need, which is fine, which is cool. You want to hear that from your running back. And I don't remember Aaron Jones saying this. I don't know if he was specifically asked questions like this. And I've mentioned in the past, I do wonder if it was talked about so much about him not getting a ton of carries that maybe he did actually go to the coaching staff at some point and saying like, hey, I can't carry like a full load. So it's nice to have Josh Jacobs now who clearly can.
I think it's like part of that mentality. Like, I think what he's getting at is like, hey, I have the mentality of like, I'll do whatever, like whatever you put in front of me, I'll take it. And like in the past, that's maybe not been the case, right? Not, I don't think he's like going after Aaron Jones, but that's definitely like from where we sit. Aaron Jones, just he couldn't take the load. We couldn't put him out there and run him 25 times a game multiple weeks. It just didn't work.
Yeah, and I think Nagler tweeted this out, just the consistency of the production too. I think it's 5 games in a row now where he has at least 100 yards from scrimmage. First Packer to do that since Eddie Lacy in 2014, I believe is what he said. And then him and I think it was Derrick Henry are the only two players who have had a streak that long, or maybe it was Saquon. It must be
really
Saquon.
It's probably Saquon.
Yeah, that makes probably more sense. But yeah, can't really complain too much. I mean, we stuck with the run in the second half, maybe more than we needed to. Again, there wasn't as much success in the second half running the ball, but can't really complain when you, I mean, it was never, at no point did this feel like a game. I do wonder, we're not talking special teams yet, but we'll just mention here, how different this game could have been if that muff punt didn't happen. Because it was a very quick 3-and-out, I believe.
Yep.
Punt it, get the ball, score a play or two later. Could have potentially changed the game, but hard to complain with the results.
It's a good point because it kind of deflates that Miami team. You can kind of tell that it deflated them a little bit. And also, like, they did not come to play in the cold. So you got to think, like, if they were up, like, excited a little bit instead of, like, being deflated and then compounded by the cold, if they were, like, excited, like, maybe then the cold doesn't feel so cold.
Yeah.
Well, but also, they haven't won a game in sub 40 degree weather since like 2016. So
yeah, and I picked the Packers to lose this game. It still just felt so weird. And we'll talk about the line. Well, the line for the Packers Lions game this weekend, I believe, is 3.5. Which again, like that is what the point spread was for the Dolphins game this past mm-hmm. week, and we shellacked them. And that's why I was so concerned going into it, because I'm like, there is no way we're only half a point better than the Dolphins. So I was worried maybe everything would have been turned around, but I don't know. Offensive line, I don't have any notes for the offensive line. I can't remember much going on outside of Elton doing the little chicken dance. No big mistakes, right? Am I?
That's what I would say. No big mistakes. You saw at their ends. I don't know who their other end is, but Chops on one side, and like obviously he's a speed rusher that's really bendy, and so you saw Jordan step up a lot. But it was nice to see guys like Rashid, well, a guy like Rashid that's so big, going up against bendy guys and still being able to kind of turn that corner and run with them, which was like, I feel like we've gone up against more power rushers. No, that's not true. Like Danielle Hunter and stuff too. So yeah, maybe not. But this was one too where I just saw them like they were running, they were turning the corner like every time the pass rushers were, and it was not a problem. So I thought that was nice to see. Just a different, it was a different pass rush than we've seen, I guess.
That is a good point because, yeah, no sacks given up this week. Jordan Love the previous week, I think he was sacked twice, and they were both kind of sacks he walked into. He is moving around inside the pocket better. It is nice because mm-hmm. there was a couple times this week where you see, oh, there's a little bit of pressure, and he steps up and just flings it. So,
but not a single run out of the pocket either, which is actually like fun to see too, that he's stepping up and dishing the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's never been much of a runner, which you would think a young guy like this, we'd see more of it. It's funny how he ran more when he was unhealthy than he has the last couple weeks when he has been healthy. I hadn't really thought of that until just now. I wonder what that means. Probably nothing at all.
Probably nothing.
Okay, with that, we will have a quick commercial break.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we are back with the defense. The defense, pretty good. I mean, 17 points. I could look this up, but Matt Schneidman tweeted this out. Points allowed by Green Bay's defense the last four games. Week 9 against the Lions, 17. Week 11 against the Bears, 19. Week 12 against the Niners, 10. And then this week, obviously, 17. That is pretty good. Along with that.
Also, ooh, side note. Yes. The pick or the touchdown to Tyreek never should have happened. That was a fluke.
I wrote that. I just have like observations and then I copy and paste them into my actual game notes. And I'm like, there was a tip pass. I think there was one earlier too. That might have.
I only remember
they
might
have dropped that one after it got into some hands. But yeah, I think that was like third or fourth down as well where it got tipped up and he caught it. So
yeah, X played it perfect. He jumped the route underneath and tipped the ball. And then it's like, oh, Tyreek just happens to be there, and that was the last 6 points.
Something else that I wrote down, which we'll get into, it feels like, and I don't really know what this means, but it feels like a lot of players on the opposing team have gotten hurt while playing us this year. We're a very healthy team in itself, but it's just this game, especially the first half, the Dolphins were just fallen like flies. I'm trying to remember who got hurt in like the Niners game too in the Chicago Bears game, but it feels like a lot of players get hurt against us, which leads me to this. Are we, and this is, it's nauseating, you know, it's football, but are we a tough football team? Is this a tough football team?
It's a dirty team. We're injuring the other team at a high rate and people are wondering about Bountygate.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe like that is a little bit, not maybe to mine, maybe to yours. Maybe we are actually tough. Like I keep saying it in my head and like there's players on our team that are tough, but like literally the mentality is tough. And so like, I think that matters. Like we talked about it a week or two ago where it's like, it hurts so much more to like get hit than to hit. And like when you are giving the contact, it doesn't like, It's way different. And so, like, if you're, like, letting up or, like, trying to not get hit, like, you're going to lose that every time, it feels like. I don't know. That's, like, my two cents on it.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, because I'm thinking, and we're talking defense here, and it's, you know, super organized show, but you just think offense alone, and we were saying this last year, too, but just the progress that Tucker Kraft has made as an NFL player. He's obviously a very tough guy when blocking, and he just will run through a motherfucker's face when he gets the ball. Josh Jacobs being the running back, you know, he's more of a run through you guy than Aaron Jones was. And even just Sean Ryan being out there.
Dude's a mauler.
He's a mauler. And again, I mean, we talked about him, like, he just looks like kind of a guy you wouldn't want to mess with anyways. With, like, it's like guys who have that long, goofy hair, but you
it's
look
like
kind of
greasy
scary.
Too. You're like
the mustache. It's like he looks like someone that you want to make fun of, but you cannot. I don't know. I said a similar thing last week, but it's like that shit. And then with the defensive side of the ball, I mean, our safeties are good. X can, you know, hit guys. Isaiah McDuffie this week, like we talked about, with a big hit. But then just our run defense, too. I think Matt Schneidman said this out again. It's something I could have just looked up. But under Joe Barry's tenure, the Packers' run D ranked 26th overall over his 3 years, whatever it was. And this year, the Packers' defense is 8th in run D, which, I mean, hell. Again, it's been 2 weeks in a row now where last week, what, the Niners combined for, like, under 50 yards rushing. I think McCaffrey alone did. And then this week, they combined for 39 yards rushing. So it's just pretty good, especially with it getting colder. This is when you want it.
The defense is definitely like playing downhill, which is like kind of what Halfley said. Like we're going to make them adjust to us. And I think there is something to that. Like how many times in the past has the Packers offense been steamrolled by a defense that attacks? And you get like, It's the little things. It's like, oh, the guy goes to turn in the flat and he like makes a little, instead of like just turning and running upfield, the Packers receiver will like, oh, sidestep, and then he gets smacked.
Yep.
And it's like the teams that attack and play fast, like they make good offensive players look bad. And it's just like, it's those split seconds where like the offensive player doesn't have time to like gather himself that like the defense looks better. I don't know. There's something about playing fast on defense that is just so much more impactful than even like fast guys on offense. I don't know.
And it's rallying to the ball too, which is dumb cliche to say, but we, especially in this game too, we saw that a lot where guys are catching the ball and they're just hit pretty quickly. And again, it's just, I think Halfley is coming up with actual game plans when I don't think Joe Barry really had specific game plans for teams. You know, Patrick Mahomes or Tommy DeVito, he's going to roll out the same type of defense. We're going to rush the front five guys, play zone coverage, whatever, in the back end. And it doesn't really matter, you know, who's playing in the secondary when, you know, with Jeff Halfley, Jaire Alexander being a scratch late in the week kind of screws him up a bit just because he's expecting, you know, to have him there. Because, you know, depending on who we're playing, you can see when we're playing man and you can see when we're playing zone. Like if, when he's trying to take someone out of a game, we're in a man defense, Jaire has to be healthy, and we're trying to take out a top receiver. With Jaire being out, it's been a lot more zone. It's been, you know, and it's more just, I don't know, it's more of a group effort rallying to the ball. And I don't know, we'll see, because it changes every week, too.
I think he does keep it simple, too. He talks about that, like keeping it simple for the guys, which is a huge thing for the young guys. So.
Pass rush on the defense, pretty good game. I mean, the last 2 weeks, a lot better. 5 sacks, went out of Quay, JJ, LVN, Brenton Cox, and Kenny Clark. Kenny Clark getting his first sack on the season. I was thinking about it, and we got too close. And, you know, if you haven't listened before, one of my first stupid fucking things I've said. Kenny Clark is the December. When it's December, he just plays a lot better. This was close. We were sniffing December. You know, it felt like December. It was in the
20s. It's basically December.
Yeah. Yeah. He just, you know, came out of hibernation, but he still wouldn't because it's not winter yet.
Yeah. You can't touch the hibernation thing because that doesn't make sense.
But yeah, nice to see him finally get a sack on the season. Brenton Cox, like we had mentioned with my very important parlay, he had his sack at the very end of the game. I mean, Aaron Mosby, too. I mean, he was getting his nose in there as well. I mean, it's not, they're not always making plays or sacks, but the pocket is collapsing a lot quicker and we're forcing the issue a lot. Most notably, Rashawn Gary. I mean, he didn't have a sack in this game, but man, you can watch him actually affect the play which is what was going on 2 years ago before he tore his ACL.
Yeah, he did look. Rashawn looked a lot better. It seemed like for every sack, he was there. He didn't obviously have a sack, but like he was in the backfield, like second to the guy almost like every time, it seemed like, and having pressures and just like moving two around. I also would say, too, Lucas Van Ness, he looks more like a, I'm not saying, because he's not necessarily like winning up front. But like, you know, when a pass rusher knows he can't turn the corner and he backtracks, that was his sack, right? And like, that is like a thing that like an experienced pass rusher does. And like Lucas Van Ness, he would just run the corner like before.
So this is a tweet from Jacob Morley. Pass rush win rate since week 9, minimum 30 pass rush reps. LVN 17.6%, which is 11th best out of 94 edge rushers. Rashawn Gary, 15%, which is 20 out of 94 edge rushers. Brenton Cox, 7.5, which is 66th. And then JJ Enagbare, 4.9%, which is 82nd out of the 94 edge rushers.
Since what week was this?
Week 9.
Okay, so just recently they've been playing a lot better.
The last four weeks. But again, I mean, Lucas Van Ness, I mean, going from nothing, and I mean, again, the way even Halfley was talking about him, I was getting concerned. I still don't know if he's affecting. I mean, he, this pass rush win rate thing, it's, this was like Rashawn Gary's bread and butter his first 4 years in the league. Yeah. It's like he didn't really affect the game all that much, so it's like I always take this, these type of stats with a grain of salt. QB pressures, I always feel like, is a lot better. That's what Mike Smith and Mike Pettine always preached back in the day too. But I don't know, I'm feeling, I don't feel great about the pass rush, but it's like we went from a D plus to, I don't know, I feel like we're at a B minus, C plus now overall in the pass rush.
So one, if we're not, if we're, are we talking only front four pass rush, or are we talking pass rush in general? Because there's a guy we're missing.
Are you like, are you talking about Quay?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what is this, 2 weeks in a row with a sack?
He's a different person.
Yeah, it's did you see any of the talk about this week too, or what he said after the game?
I didn't hear, and I don't think I heard what he said. I heard people talking about him on the team, but
yeah, so yes, X spoke very highly of him.
Sure.
He said that he could be like the best inside line, whatever, linebacker in the league. But after the game, Quay just talked about again how he's always thinking too much, and how he's just too,
I did hear that, yeah,
and how he's too hard on himself. Like Wilde talked about it as well. He even apparently, Quay like left the locker room, and the media had to like talk to the Packers PR to get him to come back so they could talk to him. And then everyone, you know, they wanted to talk about, because he's had such 2 weeks in a row of very good performances. Quay just says he thinks he's so hard on himself. He, talking to Wilde after, he just says he wants to be the best linebacker in like Packers history. He's like, I know it was very funny because he's like, you know, I know AJ Hawk and Devondre Campbell have been here, but I just want to be, when people think of like the best guys in this league that do this, I want them to think about me. And it truly, and it's what we've, like, we've gotten on Quay all year, and I always say it apprehensively because you know it means so much to him because he's just a football player. But again, it's just, he's playing better. I wonder if Halfley is like talking in the mic, you know, they talked about back in the day with Jared Goff and McVay with the Rams, how McVay was talking Goff about what to do during the play until they cut off the mic. I wonder if Halfley's like doing that with Quay more too. But I'm rambling here. Halfley also said, because they already talked this week, all the coordinators, that the last 2 weeks in practice, and they always talk about fucking practice under Matt LaFleur, how Quay's been a different guy in practice too, and how that seems to be coming up on game day as well.
Whatever it is, him not having to think, and I think it's not a coincidence that it stems from him beginning to rush the passer more. Like him just saying, hey, cut loose and just run, and he like blows up plays. Like even on the ones where I'm trying to remember the other one, it was somebody else's sack, I think. He didn't get the sack, but he blew up the center, like he, and like just caused this, I think it was a stunt to happen where it's like, yeah, dude, like you can't, that athleticism needs to be showcased regardless of, you know, whether he can pick the right gap and make the play. You know what I mean? It's just like, use him to his advantage and have him attack. Cause when he's running downhill and when he's running, when he's chasing something down outside the tackles, he's the best. Like that's his thing.
simplify the game for him again. We, you know, we make fun of him. He's kind of a dum-dum, but he loves football. So, you know, I'll love him until he's gone. You know, we'll keep it at that. The thing I don't fucking love, though, and man, it used to just be Preston, it seemed like. But the fucking offsides penalties, man.
I don't know how you line up offsides all the time.
Holy shit. I mean, I joked on Twitter and everyone thought it was hilarious, but it's like, God, the guy, the grounds crew at Lambeau, they need to turn the brightness up on the blue line because clearly they can't see it when they're when they're there at the game. But Jason, so someone I don't think we've talked about him much. We might have mentioned him once earlier this year. Jason Ribovich is the outside linebacker or defensive end. I think he's the defensive line coach. I really wonder if he's going to be back next year because, one, it was a very, very slow start for the pass rush this year. And, I mean, something like this, and I guess we've argued in the past, too, about, like, false starts and shit, and that isn't a coaching thing. That's a no-duh, you should do this. But, fuck, for it to continuously happen this year, I mean, I feel like there's been, like, five offsides in, like, the last three games, and it's like, how do you keep letting this happen? I wonder how good of a coach he is.
I don't know. You're supposed to be looking at the ball to watch the snap. Well, if you can see, you know, like underneath the center's wrist, well, your head's too far across the line. Like, you know, and if everybody else is behind you, hey, back up a little bit. I don't know. It just is kind of dumb. And like when you're watching it, I'm like, I find myself a couple plays a game going like, oh, this is going to be offsides. And then literally nothing. It's 5 seconds longer after that you see the guy, his head is completely across the line. There's no change. There's no nothing. It's just like, ugh.
It was very funny hearing Halfley talk about it, too, because he just got pissed off like immediately in the presser. He's like, I don't know, maybe they have to check with the ref, like, you know, how wideouts always check to see if they're on the line. It's like, maybe they have to start doing that more just at the end position, because that's where it keeps happening. I think it was JJ and, was it Gary or Kenny?
Feels Carter? Like JJ. I don't know. I don't feel like Gary does it that often.
Unless it was Mosby, but JJ has been the guy who's been offsides the most, it feels like.
I think it was JJ and LVN.
That would make sense too. Pass D, we just don't cover tight ends well. That seems to be the one real issue that outside the pass rush now, because clearly it's fixed and we're never gonna have to worry about it again. But fuck, Jonnu Smith, what did he finish with? 10 receptions, 113 yards. He's the one guy, because when they got the ball on offense the first time, they were throwing it to him, and I'm like, shit, if they just keep throwing it to him, because he was fired up for that game too. He was trying to start shit, which got me a little bit worried, because that seemed like the Miami Dolphins offense was a little confident. And then again, I mean, real good game from Isaiah McDuffie. We talked up Quay, but fuck, clearly, I mean, this has to be Isaiah McDuffie's best game as a Packer. He had that huge hit on third down to force the incompletion. He had a forced fumble that went out of bounds, and he had a couple just really good wrap-up tackles that we needed at clutch situations. And I don't know, he's the perfect glue guy, third string, second string linebacker that you'd want for your team.
And I feel like he's turned into like the Sam that we need, like the play downhill, stuff the run guy. He even had that contested pass. It was should have been a deflection, essentially, against Tyreek. Tyreek just regathered and caught the ball, but like he was all over him. Like the dude, for what he is, and we said this last year, he plays way above his draft stock.
Yes.
Like he just is like so much better than like what he should be. Like the dude's a gamer. It's so fun to watch.
We talked about it earlier this year where it's like, would you rather have this is the dumbest fucking question. Would you rather have Isaiah McDuffie or would you rather have Chris Barnes? We said Chris Barnes back then. I don't know. Maybe we would go back on that and say Isaiah McDuffie now.
Chris Barnes is still, like, Chris Barnes is good. And it would be fun to see what he could do. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of Chris Barnes this year, just one game. So
yeah, the perfect mid-off, you know, McDuffie versus Chris Barnes. and something else about McDuffie too. LaFleur said this after the game. They didn't even think McDuffie was going to be able to play after
the ankle injury,
that ankle, whatever the fuck he had after the, who did we play before this? The Bears? Was it the Bears game? No, the Niners game.
Niners,
he was late coming out of the tunnel for halftime, which was the reason someone got in the game. I forgot who now, but it's because he was so banged up. And then again, going through the week on a short week, they didn't think he was going to play. So he's playing hurt. He got a turkey leg at the end, kind of awkwardly talked.
Oh, was that when Hopper was in? Hopper came in for one play and he actually blew the play up.
That is what it was. It was Hopper. I couldn't think. I was like,
which was pretty,
I was like, it wasn't
pretty fun to see.
Play of that. Yeah. And yeah. And he had a couple of snaps later, but maybe we'll see more Hopper later in the season. Sticking with the pass game too. Only other note to say, I forgot Odell Beckham plays for the Dolphins.
Me too.
It's weird. It's weird how wideouts, and maybe it's just the NFL nowadays, wideouts really do just disappear at the end of their careers. You know, like AJ Green, Julio Jones. I wonder if Devontae's kind of on that path right now. Who knows? But then Odell here too. I mean, the third wideout, and he had like that one catch, two catch. Yeah, he had one catch for 9 yards. It's like, oh yeah, I forgot. Remember how for like 3 years, it was like, who's going to trade for Odell? Who's going to trade for Odell? And he's just never been the same guy since he's left the Giants.
Yeah, I don't know. That it's like the wide receivers, like they, you can't tell that they're bad until like 3 weeks into the season. And they're like, oh yeah, they're kind of bad. Like, what do you, they're like when they fall off the cliff. But then there is guys too that live forever. Like Steve Smith played for forever. I mean, look at D-Hop. D-Hop feels like he should have been out of the league 3 years ago.
Yeah, maybe. He's 32 years old, I feel like. But that's the thing. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Devontae. Because it's like, if you're a bigger guy and you're a possession receiver and a good route runner, you should be able to stick around. Because, like, I mean, Julio, I don't know, he was just always a physical freak. And AJ Green was kind of the same, too, I suppose. But
it seems like the guys who are more, like, quickness in and out of their breaks, those are the guys that, like, all of a sudden they just disappear.
True. Moving on to the run D, not much more to add. Again, we already said we only gave it 39 yards on the run, but hey, that goal line stand, that was pretty fucking cool. Was that Gary on second down who had the tackle for loss?
Yep.
I just assumed it was going to be a touchdown for them to turn it over on down. So that was, again, it's like, I feel maybe this defense, maybe this team is tougher than we gave them credit for.
We had two goal to goal situations and they got no touchdowns. I mean, that's been like, years past, I've always been like, well, if they get to the five, it's six. They're getting 6 points. And this year, it's like, man, we get even like fourth downs in midfield and whatever. Like, no matter where we are, like, if it's like fourth and short, third and short, like, that defense comes to play. And it's really fun to watch.
The D-line in general, I mean, we talked up the pass rush too, but it seems like the D-line has just been very steady. Again, the last 2 weeks, staying home, being solid in the run game, and letting everyone else make the plays, rushing the passer.
Is this what happens when you have a 4-3?
Who's
this? What 4-3s do?
I don't know.
They stop the run?
It's been so... Well, I remember when we... Like, I was fucking 13, 15 years old when I looked it up, where when we made the switch from a 4-3 to a 3-4. So this was 2006, 2007.
Yep.
The 3-4 then was slightly more successful against the run than the 4-3.
Probably because having a nose.
I don't know. But that was also fucking 15, 20 years ago or whatever. So who knows if it's actually...
When everybody ran between the guards.
Yeah, right. When football was played by real men. Yeah. Special teams. Again, we talked about it. Very lucky to have that muff punt. Another big thing out of that was Robert Rochelle, who was called up from the practice squad a couple of weeks ago. He was given a game ball after. Apparently, he said he lost a couple of his partners, which I assume it's just some buddies probably from growing up who must have passed away that day. But he was the one guy given a game ball, so it was pretty cool that, you know, he was the one that happened to jump on the fumbled ball. He said partners. I was like, what if it was like he had two girlfriends?
Could have been.
We don't know.
That's how people use that.
Yeah, true. Some people use that term. And if that is the case of what happened, then I'm sorry that his girlfriends or maybe boyfriends died.
Well, either way, people died is what he said, right?
Nobody said that, but the tone of
implied.
I mean, it would be... I can only assume that's what happened, unfortunately.
Removing ourselves from this situation,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes when people say partner, I think of like cowboys calling people partner.
Howdy. I say howdy too much for not being a cowboy. Like,
and your age is, that's a tough.
Yeah.
Like if you were 50, it'd be like, oh, like maybe they used to say that. But nobody says howdy.
I guess I use it too. Maybe it's kind of like a confidence thing where I'm like, I don't take you seriously because I'm saying howdy. Or maybe, you know, like sometimes on like the job site for like construction jobs and stuff, I'll say howdy to like a foreman or a construction worker. And I think then they know, hey, this guy, he's not fucking around. He's a very...
You think so? They think that you're a real cowboy?
Mm-hmm. They look at me and they're like, damn, this is one tough motherfucker in this very faded Packer.
That's probably... Packer hat. That's what they say.
Our kicker's good too. Three field goals in this game. Matt LaFleur said it too, asking. He said he doesn't even watch anymore during field goals. He's usually just getting ready for... you know, the next series or whatever. So that's nice. And I think we're all kind of in the same boat. I'm not going to jinx us, but it's nice to have what we have right now. Especially seeing fucking Justin Tucker falling apart is nuts.
And we're not asking him to do anything crazy. His long this week was 46 yards. And it's just like, hey, just make everything up to 50. And yes. Like, we're happy. Just make the stuff that you probably should make. Like, we're not asking him to kick a 56 yarder right now. I mean, I think that would be a different story. I don't know that he quite has. There's some nervousness sometimes when he kicks the ball and I see it come off his leg and it bends back. But maybe that's by design. You know, maybe that's what kickers do. Crosby always did that too.
Right.
It would bend out and come back. So very, I don't know, maybe that's a thing.
This week too, I mean, there's a couple that were a little, you know, yeah, scary right off the foot, but they keep going in, so I can't complain. And yeah, like you're saying, everything within like 45 seems automatic, and he missed that one from like 48 a week or two ago, but mm-hmm, whatever. We'll obviously take it. That's it for this game. You got anything else for this game?
Dolphins suck in the cold. I wrote that down.
Yeah, it was kind of funny to see McDaniel, like, literally his play sheets shaking.
Shaking? Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, what a pussy.
Did you see the clip when they came out before in warm-ups? Like, I feel like a lot of times, like, when San Francisco comes to town, they come out and they do warm-ups on the field in, like, shorts. And they, like, embrace the cold.
That kind of scares me when I see that, yeah.
They were in, like, stocking caps, full sweatshirts, full sweatpants, like, this isn't true, but mittens.
Yeah, because I see that, and I, you know, because I'm a narcissist or whatever, maybe, or I got to put myself in this. I'm like, what would I do? Because I'd probably still want to wear, because there's like no real benefit to going out there without like sleeves on, right?
I think that there is.
Well, I've heard like the opposite for like blood flow, and you get colder quicker, and then you're not as fast as stuff. I don't know if that was some sports science thing or some bullshit.
That might be true, but it's all the mentality. So like when you go out there and you do, if you're out in the cold when it's, and you're in like a t-shirt and shorts, right? It sucks. Mm-hmm. But then you put the pads on and you're like, oh, this is not, like, this is not that bad. Like you get, and then you get warmed up a little bit and you're like, this is fine. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the mentality that is like.
So I would do a very, very similar thing when I was a kid, you know, living at my parents' house, when I'd have to dump the garbage in the winter. And what I would do sometimes, and I don't think, I will say it was mostly for a toughness thing, but mostly it was laziness. I didn't want to put my shoes on, so I would take my socks off, and I would run out in the snow with like a foot of snow, run out, dump the garbage, and then run back. And sometimes it would be like multiple bags. I'm like, okay, we can do it. We can go through the snow again in the bare feet. And that does, it gets pretty cold, especially when you got little baby white feet like I did back in the day. Now they're, you know, huge, calloused, fantastic.
Yep, hairy.
How are your feet, Todd?
I don't know. I don't really look at them.
All right, thick news for the week.
Football time. Take news.
All right, take news for the week. We got a couple little things here to talk about. First, Sterling Sharp and Mike Holmgren are finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which was announced today. For, I think, you know, we're both 30-ish years old, so I don't remember Mike Holmgren really being the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. If LaFleur is the coach for one more year, that would be as many years as Holmgren was the coach for the Packers, which feels kind of odd too. Like it was kind of,
that is weird.
It wasn't super, super long he was with the team. But Sterling Sharp, like we said too, wide receiver for the Packers. He was originally selected by the Packers with the 7th overall pick in the 1988 draft out of South Carolina. Only had a 7-year career. He was a 5-time Pro Bowler, 3-time first team All-Pro who reached 1,000 yards. 5 seasons, He also led the NFL in receptions 3 times, in receiving yardage once, and in receiving touchdowns twice. Overall, Sharp played 112 NFL games and finished with 595 catches for 8,134 yards and 65 touches. He's always been the guy where if he didn't have that neck injury, they're like, ah, oh, what could have been? He would have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. It's also kind of weird, too, because he didn't have the best relationship with Brett Favre. He was very much a, like, me guy. Like, he just wanted to get the ball. Yeah, Todd's looking at me like, oh, huh? Face,
but, is that running the family?
Yeah. They're both kind of, and I don't know. He's an interesting guy too, but obviously his career cut short. It is weird seeing plays like highlights of his. There was even one a week or two ago where it was some game in the 90s with like Don Mikowski, and he just throws a little out to Sterling Sharp. He makes one little move. And then he just jukes the receiver and he's gone like 80 yards and he outruns everyone. And it's crazy to see just the difference in skill that that dude had back then where it's like, oh, no wonder people were like, this guy should be, you know, a Hall of Famer, you know, in just such a short career.
You know what I feel like he was like on the athleticism scale is like what Adrian Peterson was for that time when he was, because it's like when AP would get out in the open field, it was like fucking good luck. And like he either could beat you with, you know, it's just this pure raw athleticism, power, speed, like not that Sterling Sharp was going to run everybody over, but just like the ability to just like turn it on is just something that's amazing to watch.
It's not even like a gear. It's all of a sudden he turns into a horse. Like, that's what they were able to do.
It's like, do you remember when Randall Cobb was fast and he would, like, stick his head down a little bit and he would run, like, faster? It's like that, but obviously more impressive.
Yeah, a little more streamlined. You got to get that extra tenth of a mile per hour quicker, I'm sure.
That's funny.
Something else very, very important. So my name, people might know, is Spencer. My younger brother, his name is Sterling. I don't know if you guys know this, I'm a pretty big Packer fan. My mom was a kindergarten teacher, and she had show and tell one day, and the kid brought in a dog named Spencer. She's like, oh, I like that name, so I got the name Spencer. Well, 2 years later, 1994, my brother is born, and Sterling Sharp is a great player for the Packers. They're like, oh, we'll name him Sterling. Now, I like my name, Spencer. Sterling could not give a shit less about the Green Bay Packers, and he's named after a great Packer. So it's just kind
which of Packer would you want to be named after?
BJ Raji.
Oh, but
no, not really. Sam Khan got Atari Bigby.
Atari is a sick name.
You can't be white, and I'd have to have like dreadlocks or something. I'd have to be.
You can have dreadlocks.
Or I'd have to have like a multicolored beard or goatee if my name was Atari. I'd have to look like I work at a surf shop if my name was Atari as a white man, I feel like.
Yeah, I think you could pull it off.
Thank you. That means a lot. Mike Holmgren is 76 years old. He was a head coach of the Packers from 92 to 1998. And he was also the head coach for the Seahawks from 1999 to 2008. Like, I remember him more as a Seahawks coach than a Packers coach, just because it seems like the last few years with Favre, he seemed to play them multiple times. He went 161 and 111 as a head coach, reached the playoffs 12 times, and made it to 3 Super Bowls, obviously winning the one with the Green Bay Packers in 1996. I don't have much to say about him. They call him the Walrus. I am the Walrus. He has a cool mustache. I don't know. He was a good head coach for the Packers. Thoughts on Mike Holmgren, San Francisco 49ers, best offense.
Some of the best clips of him just being like so disappointed but so happy with Favre. Like when he's like, whatever you do, don't run it. And Favre runs the ball. Or like, I told you not to throw that ball, and he throws it for a touchdown. He's just like, what are you doing? And then it works.
I like the clip too where I think he's like, oh, get, I don't know if it was Brunell or whoever. It's like, oh, get Brunell ready. He's like talking to Mike. He's like, nah, no, no, never mind. Don't do it. Like, he actually said that one time too. It's just, he was the right coach to have at that time to obviously coach Favre up. And he obviously trend that line where, I don't know, maybe other coaches wouldn't have stuck with him. Apparently there was like a meeting back in 94, I think it was 94, with like the offensive coaching staff, And they were like, should we bench Favre for Mark Brunell or whoever the fuck it was? I think it was Brunell. And Steve Mariucci was the guy who spoke up and said, like, we can't bench this guy. So it's, I don't know. What,
really?
What could have happened if that happened? I think it's directionally correct for how that story went. So we'll see.
Why did he leave when he left? I don't know.
Ooh, Mike Holmgren?
Yeah.
It's a very, very good question, Todd. This is a very fun little story. So, you know, the Lord and Savior, Bob Harlan for the Green Bay Packers, the president who helped change the team around, he obviously hired Ron Wolf, which was a big reason for that, blah, 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 team turning it around. So Mike Holmgren, as Ron Wolf was leaving, Mike Holmgren wanted to be the GM and the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, to which Bob Harlan said, nope. And instead they hire Ray Rhodes, who is a one. He had previous experience. Wait, I might be going back and forth here. I might be going back and forth here because I'm thinking Mike Sherman here too. Ron Wolf's biggest regret is not hiring Andy Reid to be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And instead he hired Ray Rhodes because he had experience as a head coach. I think Ron Wolf left soon after that, but the other regret being eventually, well, they hire Mike Sherman, who was the head coach and GM, which obviously was a mistake, and they regretted not keeping Holmgren around and not making him GM. I mean, fucking Sherman took BJ Sanders, the punter, in the third round, I want to say. He was not very good at drafting people.
Okay. I thought maybe it was because he wanted to take Hasselbeck and go make him into a star.
Well, hey, that worked pretty well for the Packers too. I know they traded him away, and again, one of my first memory I have of being like a Packer fan, big one, was Al Harris with that pick six against the Seahawks.
And the best part is that it's a hot mic, and he's like, "We want the ball, and we're gonna score."
Yes,
it's like no Hasselbeck.
And people don't remember this. I believe this is correct. It wasn't the first series that happened. It was the Seahawks' second series that they picked off the ball. So, you know, I guess they kind of had a shot either which way.
Yeah. I mean, I think that people think that because when you go back and watch the video, it's we want the ball, we're going to score. And immediately Al Harris picking the ball is the next scene. So, understandable.
With a finger in the air. Yeah. Next thing to talk about, very, very important. This will be super long discussion. Jordan Morgan over Cooper DeJean. So how do you liked Cooper DeJean going into the draft? You were
yeah.
sad after we didn't take him in the first or second round, I believe. Like you were upset that we let him go. It looked, you know, he was banged up at the beginning of training camp. We don't need to talk about other players, but I saw so much shit on Twitter from people saying, wow, we didn't take him with our DB problems and we took Jordan Morgan. And it's like, remember everyone talking about fucking T. Higgins, how we should have drafted him instead of Jordan Love, and I've had my own problems with drafting Jordan Love, but it's like, how have we not learned to at least wait until we actually see Jordan Morgan play before saying it was a mistake to not draft someone else?
I think that you're never wrong, and we've seen this year after year, and sometimes it's disappointing, and that was what this was for me, but you're never wrong to take big boys. Whether it's on the offensive line or the defensive line, like, you're not wrong. It might not be fun. It might not be sexy. But, like, I mean, that's what Cooper DeJean was. That was, like, the fun. Like, this dude's got ball skills. He's fast. Like, we needed a slot, seemingly, is what I felt like at the time, you know. And obviously, Bullard is, I love Bullard, too. But, like, having DeJean seemed like the guy at the time of the draft. And I mean, I think he is still going to be a good player. And obviously he was hurt for a while at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. But training camp, it was a while too with the hamstring injury. Yeah.
But give me a Pro Bowl. If we can get a lineman that's going to reach a Pro Bowl in his career, give me that dude over somebody who's, you know, I don't know. It's tough at those skill positions. I feel like we've done so well with linemen over the years. So,
right. And drafting where we were last year too, like, it's usually DBs fall, good tackles usually don't fall, you know. And whatever fucking Ron Wolf or Ted Thompson ever said, that the good Lord only made so many big guys like that, it makes sense. It, you know, that's my argument, because that's what the Packers do. But at the same, and it's worked out on the offensive side of the ball with the offensive lineman that we've drafted. But then at the same time, you look at the DBs and it's like, well, you know, Kevin King and, Demarius Randall and those guys. So it hasn't always worked out for the DB stuff. You know, Jair Alexander was a solid draft pick. I'm trying to think. Casey Hayward was solid too, who I think was a second or third round pick.
Yep.
But I don't know. It's people saying that it's a mistake already is just, that's what fucking grinds my gears. You know, we've gone a little long. I don't know if we have to talk about the playoff stuff. We might as well talk about playoff seeding after this week, right? Because this is a pretty big... If we lose to the Lions, we're not going to win the division. So, right. I don't know if we need to really talk about it now. I mean, it seems like... Like, how would you... Looking at the NFC, how do you feel? Where are the Packers ranked? Because it feels like it's Detroit and Philly. I'd probably put us... Right there after that with the Vikings and I think it's Detroit, Philly, us, the Vikings, and then it's like everyone else. And I think the Vikings are that good.
Yeah, I think that it's, I don't know. I'm with you too, obviously, on Detroit, Philly. You look at some of the other like division leaders and I look at them and I'm like, I don't know what they're, I mean, you got Seattle, which I mean, like, that's not a good team. You got the Falcons. What are they like, they're like 500 team.
Yeah, they're 6-6.
I mean, the Commanders are the only other team other than the Vikings that I'm like, I would not want to play the Commanders first round of the playoffs. That does not sound like fun. So Commanders give me a little bit of pause just because of like the athletic QB and like in the past how we've been just thrashed by that.
Sure.
And I mean, it's been different this year, so maybe I shouldn't be too worried about it, but I don't know. Yeah, I think between us and Minnesota, that's the number three spot.
It feels like a good year to get a wild card spot though, because you don't really want to play Detroit or Philly.
Yeah, so, give me Atlanta.
Yeah, exactly. Give me Atlanta and give me the Seahawks too. Like, I really don't care between those teams. So it's, you know,
it's like a good year to be hot rolling into the divisional round.
Yeah,
like to be playing, to not have a week off.
No, watch, we're gonna like steamroll Detroit this week, and we're gonna be like, no, we need home field throughout. Look, we're a tough team. We need to play at Lambeau for the rest of the season. But
I'm a little bit more of the opinion of like, it is good to keep playing.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. It's tough. Shit, everything just changes. Everything's
cyclical.
Yeah. Is that how you say it? Cyclical?
Cyclical. Cycle.
Yeah, I didn't want to say cynical because that's not the right word. But it's like even...
Well, you could be cynical.
True. But even like now people are arguing, oh, look at Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs. Like, running is what's important in the league. It's like, I don't know if it's that's totally true either.
I do think it is cyclical, though, because like as the NFL gets smaller and faster in certain areas, then all of a sudden, like, now running is more of a thing and you've got these faster, and then we're going to have like linebackers are going to have to get bigger again.
I've thought that, too. I think I brought that up last year as well, because just you look at the lines as well. They run the ball so much and they have two really good running backs because, you know, it seems to be that's the way to move. Like you're saying, with just the way the players are different than they were. There's no Brian Urlacher or Ray Lewis types anymore, Patrick Willis types, but it's like, well, is a team like that going to go all the way? Because that hasn't really happened in recent history either. So I don't know. It'll be a big year to figure out if that's true or not. With that, are you ready? Todd, do you have the stump?
God damn it.
Stump spinning for 3. Well, don't worry. So I did talk to Billy.
I do have it.
Okay. I talked to Billy this week. I said I think I was around 40% going into last week. I was pretty close. I am 6-7 on the year, I believe, on the stump spennies. So if I get this one, I'm even.
500.
I'm even. I'm not an idiot. If you remember, it's Kyle an idiot. It's not that, but yeah.
Okay, stump spenny for the week. 4 players have appeared in at least 200 games for the Green Bay Packers. Ugh. Name 3 of them.
Read it again.
So 4 players have appeared in at least 200 career games for the Green Bay Packers. Name 3 of them. So there's 4 total.
Yeah.
Name 3 that have played 200 games for the Packers.
I'm going to go with Favre.
Okay. That's correct.
I mean, I'm going to go with Rodgers.
That's correct.
And I'm going to go with Mason Crosby.
That was what when you got Favre Rodgers, I was like, I know he's going to pick Crosby next.
Yeah, I want
to give me a guess on the fourth one.
God.
For bonus points.
Yeah, fuck.
It's not out of the realm that you would get this one.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. It's tough for, cuz offensive linemen don't have a long shelf life. Quarterbacks in just the league, there wasn't as many games way back in the day. You know, I am gonna go with Donald Driver.
Correct.
Nice.
Okay. Good job.
Yeah, because he was. I mean, the last 2 years with him, it was just like it was kind of like wheeling Joe Biden out the last 2 years. You know,
it was tough, right? And I think, and Billy actually added in here at the end. He said appeared is the key word, not started in. So I didn't know if I need to emphasize that, but I think you got it. So
God, man, look at that! What a roaring way to get back to 500 on the season for Packers trivia.
You'll have to hold those bonus points in your pocket for at the end of the year if you're even at the end.
All right. With that, getting into the preview, the Packers are playing the Detroit Lions in Detroit on Thursday on Amazon Prime. We have Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. I don't want to get into too much here. Al Michaels has kind of fallen off a bit. He's still pretty solid. Why are you giving me a look?
I love Al Michaels.
I do too, but he's the last. He used to be the GOAT. Now he's kind of...
Yeah, he's not the GOAT.
Whatever. But. Like, who do we have on Thursday? Mike Tirico. He's been pretty solid. I think he's gotten better the last 5-10 years. And I'll say this. I gave Jason Garrett shit. He was fine. He was fine.
Yeah.
As he was still boring, but I would take him over Mark Sanchez and Jonathan Vilma a bazillion times out of a bazillion. Kirk Herbstreit... I love dogs. I really love dogs. I'm very sad that his dog died. I'm a little sick of seeing his new dog now on Twitter.
What? I don't.
You haven't seen any of this?
Him. He,
okay.
No.
Golden retrievers are good dogs. I love dogs, but it's like, okay, I get it. I don't need it shoved. Okay. Packers.
Can I just say Kirk is too college football? Like when I hear his voice, I just am like, it doesn't feel like the NFL. That's all I have to say.
I agree. I don't know if that's my problem or his problem, but he's too stoic like Al Michaels. You know, you need something a little bit different. What would be great? You know what would be awesome? I wish we could, one, put Al Michaels in like a age regression machine so that he could be like 10 years old, younger. But him and Greg Olson, who's like
second. That's what I was literally going to say Greg Olson.
Who's like second string for Fox, and Joe Douglas is pretty solid for Fox as well. But that would be the perfect pairing right there. You wonder if Greg Olson, if he gets pissed off with this contract and Tom Brady leapfrogging him, if maybe he would jump ship and go to Amazon or something like that. But I don't know.
Going to Amazon's probably not like the place to be. I feel like you'd have to have Al Michaels leave Amazon to get those two together.
Maybe, but I mean, Amazon pays up for fucking everything too. So
fair. That's fair.
Packers are 3.5-point underdogs in this game, which, again, I like that. They only think the Lions are a half point better than us. Pretty good. Lions are, what are they? They have one loss. God, I just had it right here.
Yep. 10-game win streak, I believe.
Mm. So they are 11-1 on the season. Again, they beat the fucking Bears on Thursday with a total debacle from the Bears once again with the timeouts. It is just... Man, what a shit show.
Just the Bears being the Bears. They can't even... Oh, my gosh.
I listened to their presser this week with Kevin Warren, I believe is his name, the president, and then Poles, the GM. Man, they really are clueless. Like, Kevin Warren leading that presser, it's like, man, I give... This is how bad it was. I'm like, I give Mark Murphy a lot of shit. At least he doesn't sound like this fucking guy who, like, they couldn't even clearly answer who was going to pick the next head coach. He was like, oh, everyone's going to be involved. It's going to be Ryan Poles' call, but everyone's going to be involved, and it's going to be someone who we all agree with. It's like, oh, so it's not going to be Ryan Poles' call. Either way. Over-under of the game is 51 points, which is pretty, pretty high. I feel like 47 is usually about the average. The Lions on offense. The Lions' offense is good. Ben Johnson, the OC, probably going to be a head coach next year if he wants to. One of the best play callers in the league. The Lions are number one in points per game at 31.9. Second best in yards per game at 395. Fourth best on third down. Fourth most rush yards per game in the league at 154. They are number one in yards per pass at 8.7. And they're middle of the road of getting sacked. They're overall a very, very solid offense, as we know. Jared Goff is still their QB. I mean, fuck, we played him like a month ago. Nearly 3,000 yards on the season, 22 touchdowns and 9 picks, which is tied for 8th most in the league. Reminder, Jordan Love has 11, and he's actually 3rd in the league in picks behind Kirk Cousins, who has 13, and Geno Smith, who has 12. So that's kind of, it took 2 weeks for him just to not throw a pick for him to like tumble down the board from first to third. Couple solid wideouts, obviously. Amon-Ra St. Brown has 820 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns. Jameson Williams, who was suspended when we played them last, he has 630 yards on the season and 4 touchdowns. Sam LaPorta, the tight end, second year, hasn't been as good as his rookie year. 391 yards, but 5 touchdowns. And again, at running back, they're a very good running team. Sonic and Knuckles, David Montgomery, and Gibbs. Gibbs leads the way with 973 yards rushing with an average of 6 yards per carry, which has got to be up there for the league leaders, which also goes along with his 282 yards receiving on the season. Montgomery, the bigger, you know, running through the tackles, between the tackles back, has 720 yards rushing on the season with an average of 4.3, and he himself even has 277 yards receiving, which is pretty impressive. Again, and like, you know, they each have only 100 yards less than Sam LaPorta on the season receiving. Their O-line is pretty solid, as we know, but they're a little banged up. Taylor Decker, one of their tackles, hasn't practiced this week. And did you see on Thanksgiving that they had Penei Sewell throw a or he at least was going to throw a pass, and then he just stiff-armed two dudes while going out of bounds and didn't actually fall down? Like, that was that was quite the
he's
play,
a freak
even though
athlete.
It wasn't a positive one.
Yeah, and he, I think they said afterwards, like, the guy who hasn't given up a sack all year gets sacked.
Yeah.
Because they ran him out of bounds for a sack.
That's a good point. I didn't hear that. Defense, the Lions' defense are pretty solid. I mean, they're giving up 16.9 points per game, which is second best in the league. However, just looking, they're falling apart. The stat is, what was it? Matt Schneidman had this too. The front seven of the 15 players that they had on their roster opening weekend or whatever, of the front seven, the 15 guys, only 4 of them are still with the team or healthy. They cut Justin Houston, and the rest of the guys are all banged up on IR, whatever. So that's something to think about. But even their last 5 games weren't that great. You know, they gave up 14 points against the Packers, which, you know, we played pretty shitty. Jordan Love had that terrible pick 6. They gave up 23 against the Texans, who are a good team. But then it was 6 points against the Trevor Lawrence-less Jags, and then 6 against the Colts, who aren't a very good team either. And then 20 points last week against the Bears, who aren't very... I mean, we gave up about that too. So they're not a very scary defense, I suppose. But I don't know. They're solid. I just don't think they're the second best defense, which they're made out to be with points per game. They're... Overall, they're giving up 6.7 yards per attempt, which is 8th best in the NFL, and 4.4 yards per carry, which is 15th best. They're 6th best in the league at creating turnovers at 1.6 per game. Not a great pass rush, getting home 6.4% of the time, which is 23rd best in the league. They're the third, they are the best third down defense in the league and the second best red zone defense in the league. If you remember, our red zone offense really popped up being an issue in that game a month ago against them, and since then we've kind of righted the ship, and we've actually been a very, very good red zone offense. I mean, I guess we kind of played it soft against the Dolphins and took field goals,
right?
But either way, we've been better. And yeah, the defensive players, don't have to go into too much detail here, but Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph, the two safeties, are probably the best tandem in the league. And Tucker Kraft doesn't like Kirby Joseph, we talked about that. And Za'Darius Smith has been pretty solid for them since
your boy.
He had 1.5 sacks last week, and yeah, I fucking hate his guts. He's one of my, just a fucking phony loser. Every time he goes to a new team, he's like, oh man, I'm so happy to be filling the blank team. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. And then he always just doesn't give a shit down the stretch. He wants to get a new contract, yada, yada, yada. Not a team player. I hope they play outdoors in the playoffs, which will be tough. I assume they're going to be the number one seed, but
right.
He's a soft ass player. He's a soft ass dude. Those are the Detroit Lions. Todd, thoughts?
I wish that the second game was at Lambeau and the first game was in Detroit.
I would feel
so much better about this game just from like having them come to cold weather and play. Not that the Lions are necessarily bad in the cold weather, but I just feel like having this team at home, the Packers at home in the cold, I feel way better about. So I don't know.
Jared Goff, they feel banged Jared Goff up in the cold.
That's actually true. Isn't Jared Goff's bad in the cold, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, really bad. He wasn't very good against us when we played them a month ago either. You know, they were just able to run the ball really well.
Yeah. And they do have, I mean, they are set up for the playoffs, running the ball. They are set up for the cold as far as like personnel. So I don't know. I don't, it's like it's the first time in like a while where I just kind of am like, I don't really feel that great about this game. So
it's a very important game. It's a choose your own adventure game, right? Because if we win, it turns into, oh, the rest of the regular season really matters. Because if we can, you know, win out or maybe just lose one or two more games, there's a good chance that we could, you know, be the number one seed or at least win the division. However, if we lose, it's like, eh, okay. And then I don't want to say we can coast the rest of the year. But again, we talked about the wild card and how it's looking. It's like, well, we'll probably get a wild card as long as we don't fall completely off the face of the earth. We'll have a decent matchup as long as we're not playing the two seed in the Eagles. And then it's, if we do play the Lions, it's back to what we said last week where it's, are we really going to lose to them three times in a year? You know, so it's, are we going to try to push hard for this one seed or are we going to lose and kind of coast and then focus on the playoffs and focus on beating the Lions if we face them again?
Yeah, I guess I'm like thinking a little bit now. This is kind of how I felt last year when we played the Lions on Thanksgiving. Well, so maybe read the tea leaves.
We will die. We will die if we lose that game.
I just like felt bad about it. I felt like, ugh, like, oh, we're going to go get beat by the Lions. Like, that's kind of like how I felt at that time. I don't really feel that bad about this one just because of like where we're at in the season and like how well we've played and like looked as of late, especially the defense. But like, I don't know. It's just like, if this game was at home, I would feel really good. The fact that it's at Ford Field makes me kind of just like, I feel like it's a little out of reach.
It's tough that we're having this tough team off in Detroit, you know, on that turf, like you're saying too.
Yes. Cause
I kind of go back and forth on it as well because the Lions do have a good pass D. But I'm like, man, it would be nice to see us really air it out with a full, like, I assume Romeo is going to be back. I guess we can talk about that. So, Edgerrin Cooper, Corey Ballantyne have not practiced this week. Jair has. I would be very, very surprised if he plays. If you remember last year, there was several weeks where he practiced all week but did not play in games. I assume, again, we're focusing on the playoffs and just the words he said with Matt Schneidman with The Athletic. Man, I have fucking name dropped Matt 10 times this episode.
Yeah. Should we have him on?
No, he's too big for us anyways. I might have reached out like 5 years ago and he ignored me, which is fine. I understand. We're nobodies. We're peasants. We're peons. Where was I? I think he's probably going to practice all week. He'll probably practice next week too, but it's just make sure he's at 100%. This shit doesn't matter. I just want to make sure we have a healthy Jair for the playoffs. I could not care less if he played in this game. But yeah, I'd like to air it out, you know, fast track. I mean, last year we remember first play of that Thanksgiving game was a deep bomb to Christian Watson. I wouldn't hate it if we tried something like that again. Romeo Dubs should be back. He's been practicing this week. He's not technically out of the concussion protocol, but it sounds like he's going to play. So we should have our full, allotment of wide receivers with that. We will have predictions. Oh, one other thing I thought about. So, the double up Thursday games, which we're doing here, you know, Thanksgiving last week. So the last two times this happened, I think the only two times it happened, one, it was the first one was the Brett Favre retired number night against the Bears. We lost. A week later was another Thursday night game, and it was the Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary game, which was actually 9 years ago today exactly. And the time before that, where it was a Thursday game, we played the Lions on Thanksgiving and beat them. And the next Thursday game was against the Cowboys, which was the Aaron Rodgers coming out party. So, again, it's kind of what I was talking about with the Thanksgiving game being a little iconic. I wonder if this is going to be another special game just because these Thursday to Thursday games have been memorable one way or another. I'm sure, you know, again, Disney, God, whoever's at play here. We'll see if maybe we have another fun.
Did you say Disney? Like Disney and God are like the same. They're like on the same level.
Yeah, yeah,
they're both just pulling the strings up there.
They both live in the clouds or whatever. Yeah, you always have the castle in the like clouds it. And stuff. Yeah, they're both they're one of the same. They control everything.
It's just funny that you're like Disney or God. I don't.
Sometimes I just start a sentence and I don't know where it's going to go. But
Michael Scott
predictions for the game. Todd, what is Billy's prediction?
Billy has the Packers losing 21-20.
Good. I like that. I like when Billy picks us to lose. I feel like then we're at free reign to pick whatever we want.
I also just feel like I have to pick us to lose, but also like the vibes of like just like when we beat last year on Thanksgiving is like the best feeling in the world when you beat a team that like I just feel like we're not supposed to beat. I don't know. Like,
well, that was season saving, and it was like, wait a minute, Jordan Love isn't bad?
Right. That was more what it was. This is like, oh my gosh, he might be good.
Yeah.
Because I think the Steelers game was before that, and we were kind of like...
Chargers game before that.
Okay, was Steelers before that? So Steelers, Chargers?
Anyways. Yeah, whatever.
The Steelers game, I was like, oh, like, that wasn't bad. We lost, but like Jordan Love wasn't bad. And then it was like Chargers game was good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. I think I have to pick. I feel like I have to say. They're going to lose. Mm-hmm. I have to. Okay. That's just like what I really believe. It's not like it's a bad vibe, but like that's really what I believe. 24-17 Packers is what I have. Okay. So kind of sucks, but I just feel like going there is tough.
Yeah, no, fair. I could see that happening too. I have the Packers winning though 28-25. I'm going to be the optimist. You know, I try to be the realistic one, but it just... I don't know. Again, if we lose, we lose. Whatever. It's a good time to lose in the season. We can get right after this. Again, we don't have... I mean, here on out, what's the schedule? It's nothing too crazy. We have...
It's like, Seahawks, Saints, Vikings, Bears.
Yeah, so nothing too crazy. Again, it's not like we're worried about the playoffs. This is just, do we want to win the division? This is a shirt game, pretty much. A potential shirt game.
Here's what I'll say, though. You kind of talked a little bit about like the playoffs and who we're going to play. We kind of need to beat the Vikings and have a better record than them at the end of the year, so they have to play the Eagles.
Mm, true. Yeah, I suppose. It is two wild cards, right?
Because it doesn't matter. Everybody else, I mean, you look at it's the Seahawks. I just had it pulled up here. So it's Seahawks, Falcons, Commanders. It's like, who cares about them? You just don't want to play the Eagles.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I still... The Vikes just keep fucking doing it. Did you see that one stat that, like, through the first three games, they were, like, plus 50 points or some shit, and then, like, the last eight games, they're, like, plus 20 or something?
They've won by the skin of their teeth the last couple weeks.
It's just they're not a real... It's the same thing as, like, 2021 or 2022 when Kirk Cousins was the quarterback and they went 13-3 and had all those... miraculous wins, and then they got but they lost to the Giants in the first round. It's like, I just feel like that's going to happen again. Whatever. We'll see what happens when we play them. But yeah, 28-25. I feel like this is, I don't know. Things feel good now. I wish it was at Lambeau, but I don't hate playing in Detroit. Jordan Love has always played really, really well in Detroit. He's actually never lost in Detroit while starting. So, right? Yeah, because Rodgers never... I was thinking if there was a bye or a late season game that even... Whatever, didn't happen. But yeah, 28-25. Todd, what is your bold prediction? Or Billy's. You can go either or.
I'll give you Billy's first. So Billy has a bold prediction of Love completing a pass of at least 70 yards. And then he gives a little context. We've had at least a 40-yard completion in each of the last 9 games. So... He's almost doubling that is what his bold prediction is.
Okay, I like how he looked up what the long was in all those games. He has a spreadsheet. That's how he knew. He has a spreadsheet for the Stump Spennies, so that's how he knew what I was at. And I believe he tracks his picks every week, and I think he picks NFL games every week too. And he looks back to see how he did the entire season. So Billy is a true football nerd, which is very respectable. What is your bold prediction?
You let me know if this is bold enough. I think it is with the two-headed monster. I'm going to say the Packers hold the the what do they call themselves? Knuckles and Sonic? No, not Sonic. Knuckles and
Sonic and Knuckles.
Is it,
yep.
Is it Sonic and Knuckles? Sonic and Knuckles to under 100 yards. That duo.
Okay. Yeah, sure. That works. I wonder,
think they had 175 yards last week together.
They do average 154 per game running the ball. So,
I mean, I just think this, I'm just trying to like lean into like also thinking, how do I come up with a prediction that's fun when the Packers lose? So this is what I came up with.
Okay, I will allow it. My bold prediction, and you can tell me if it's not bold enough, but I think it is. You know, someone who I've talked about a lot this year, someone who I love, he's just my little baby boy. I love him so much. He's talked about Kirby Joseph or whoever, that safety who's taken, I believe, Tucker said, taking some of my brothers out. I think he was the guy who took out Hawkinson's knee last year. He's the guy who took down, I think, a Houston tight end, maybe Miami tight end before Johnny Smith. I forgot who it was, but he goes low. Maybe this is a psych out from Tucker Kraft. I have Tucker Kraft hurdling a player this week. I don't believe he's done it this year. Last year he did it a couple times, but I think he's been saving his groin this season. I don't believe he's done it this year. This is my bold prediction.
I think that that is a good bold prediction, just I don't think there's any way he sees a defender in front of him this year and he hurdles him. He's like, I'm running through everyone's face.
Maybe this is part of like his mental gymnastics with the Lions talking to, because he's like, oh, I'm going to get my hands on him and play football. And he's like, haha, nope, you're not going to go for my knees. I'm going to jump over you.
All the good hurdles seem to be like split second decisions too. So like you can't telegraph a hurdle and have it be successful, right? Like you just have to like, hey, like remember Saquon's backwards hurdle?
That was ridiculous.
Side note, that was amazing.
Who did we have? What, Christian Watson and God, who? Who did the terrible hurdle? Was it Emmanuel Wilson?
It was Emmanuel Wilson. That's did right. The terrible hurdle that was horrible.
He just jumped into the guy. Yeah, that was hilarious.
The guy was just standing straight up and he just ran into him.
With that, that's our preview. That is the episode, everyone's favorite part. If you could please do a 5-star review on Apple or a 5-star rating on Spotify, leave a comment on the episode. We actually did get a couple comments this week. This one, I don't know if you listened to it. I did. I couldn't find the drop, so I had to make another new drop. And it's funny because I'm recording like the drop on my computer, and I don't know how to do it. I'm sure there's a different way too, but I have to unplug my mic, so I have to play it out of the speakers to record the sounds. And like my fiance's in the other room, and there was, you know, a fart noise, a vomit noise, and a pissing noise because I did make a new drop. So this is from Taysan Fauché. Taysan Fauché. SVP soundbite is very perfect. Okay, emoji. So good, I shit my own pants. So I like
hell yeah.
I like that. We do have another one, but I'm going to save it. I did ask for any vomit stories. We did get one from Eric, so I'm going to save that for... I'm looking for a poop story. I'm still looking for a Packer poop story. I got a pee story. I need a poop story. I got to do some more digging, so hopefully next week. And then Ryan... we'll just call him Zim. We were talking about the breathalyzer thing when we left Green Bay.
Yes.
And it was, did we go to Culver's or did we go to McDonald's? Zim says, we stopped at Culver's. Thanks for driving, Todd. I think that was also the rain game where we walked around the lot tailgating.
Yes.
And our 30 rack of beer box was disintegrating in the rain. Had to drink them fast. Yeah, we had a 30 of Schmidt, I think, and we were getting ready to go in the gate. And
was it Schmidt?
Yep. I was just handing them out to people. I was like, oh, you want a beer? Yeah. You want a beer? Because you're about to go in. And yeah, that's beginning of the tailgate's good. The end after it, when you're getting to the warm beer and you've already had, you know, a handful in a short period of time, it gets a little rough.
Yeah, and then was that Dallas? Was that the rain Dallas game? Was that what that one was?
I think it was the Giants. I could be wrong though. I think
it might have been. You know what it was? It was the Redskins the Redskins.
Nope. Because that was just me, you, and our friend Andrew. And that was a terrible game. That was with Haskins.
Yes, it was.
But that was,
it
like
was bad.
A very low scoring game. I think that was the Giants year though, because I saw them play in the regular season, and then I went to see them the postseason with their other buddy Clark. And I think that must have been, we went to McDonald's that game, unless it was when I went with Kyle Ilinda to a different game when we went to a McDonald's. So I got to remember, I don't even know all the games I've been.
Regardless, I'm a Culver's boy, so I knew we went to Culver's.
I had Culver's on Sunday. It was delicious. You got to
always delicious.
Double butterburger with cheese all the way, no tomato. Onion rings for the side.
Oh, what do you got against tomato? Onion rings on the side is that's a pro move.
Tomato's just meh. It's just sweet water in a fruit form. I don't like it that much.
I like it.
And I get the root beer. I usually get the root beer. No ice unless I'm a little sleepy, I'll get the mellow yellow. But yes, you can leave a rating on Spotify, 5 stars or a review. Send us the review, screenshot it, and we will send you a free koozie. I need to get back the emails. Oh, we also the hammer guy from a couple of weeks ago, he sent me a picture. I think I sent it to you. He was at the game with the koozie. He took a picture. That was very, very
and
cool.
And he had a pounder, so it was like hanging out the top.
Yeah, very, very cool. Getting those, it's like, oh, people in the real world actually listen to the podcast and it affects their life one way or another. That is all I had. I think we've gone pretty long. Yeah, what a great episode. Todd, do you have anything else?
I've been writing stuff down, and the couple things that I missed were, I wrote, I'm scared we get behind and LaFleur forgets to run the ball.
Yeah, that does tend to happen. I could see that happening.
I also wrote Daniel Whelan is a weapon, like the weapon, like J.K. Scott was not the weapon.
Mm-hmm. I saw Ken Ingalls was just tweeting like, oh, he's not actually that good. Like his average punt is very good. It's like, yeah, sure. But punting numbers, depending on where we're on and the field, like he's always, there's very few touchbacks. There's very few bad punts. I think he had like one or two muffs early this season. And outside of that, it's been glorious.
It's been great. It's been consistent. And like to do it in the cold and the crap, I feel like to get anybody that can do it is like, I'm for it, right? Like keep them around.
In the cold and the crap. What a Wisconsin phrase right there that was. Anything else? Is that all you got, Todd?
We need Jair back soon.
We need him back, but I don't want to rush him back again. I just, again, this is all gravy. Our defense is fine without him. I want him to, week 17, 18, he can come back.
Yeah.
That's, just get him warmed up and when then ready for the playoffs. Vikings
that week?
It's 17. Yeah, 17 and then the Bears week 18, TBD. Maybe we'll go to that game.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I
don't know.
I don't know.
Anything else?
That's all I got. All
right, well, AJ Dillon, take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever, you can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy, just watch. Not even will I quit my job. Yeah, cause it just won't pay. I worked all year, I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Yeah, well, now I don't care.
Sure.
I was 2 bites in and immediately like tummy grumbled and then I shit, you know, 5 minutes later. And I'm like, it doesn't work like that, right? Like,
I don't know what it is. Cause like when I have my coffee, if I have coffee in the morning before I shit, it's like 4 sips and it's like, oh shit.
And like my stomach grumbles. Grumble is the
it's like your body
term.
Cause it's like obviously not, it's not coming out. It takes a long time to make it through the system, but it must like
let's
body
get rid
go
of the
oh
reserves.
Shit.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Like,
God, if you shit your pants there, it would have been good. Cause then we would have had a shit.
I was fighting
week.
It. I was fighting. I was sitting here and I was like, I had to fart. And then I was like, that's not a fart.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.